Nice job, Brian. That was good. Good stuff. Before we jump into our hot topic today, I want to give you a little commercial. Can you handle a commercial? Can you handle it? Okay. We're going to anyway. Go ahead. His name is Jean Garvin's Augustin. This young man is the man that Denise and I, he's a little boy here, but he's a man now for the last 9 years. Walloon currently sponsors, talk to Julie, we think about 130 students right now to attend Christian school at our sister church in Derivaux, Haiti. Okay? Haiti, by the way, poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and they don't provide education free of charge to their people. Therefore, to have a school, a Christian school, is huge. So what we're talking about is sponsoring a child, which includes school entrance fee, tuition, books for the year, school supplies, medical attention, a daily hot lunch. And you just think, this has the potential to change a child's life for all of eternity, for $1.33 a day. Now, if you go down to the Iron Goat, Great Coffee, you can't get nothing for $1.33, okay? Nothing, I'm telling you. So for $1.40 a month, we want to encourage a few more of you to step up and sponsor a child. I think Julie said we have four here, and if you really want one, we might be able to get one back from East Jordan or Lansing. Or here's the mystery, Julie said, when she was cruising in Alaska with Jeffrey, suffering for the Lord, some of those profiles wound up missing. So it was great. We think they're sponsored, but we don't think that anyone's paid yet. So here's the message. If you took one of these, that means you are going to sponsor them or get them back to Julie. Does that make sense? So if you took one, that means that child is now yours, and you need to talk to the folks and get your sponsorship paid all up, okay? Make sense anyway? So we've got four back there. Julie, right through the center doors to the right. She'd love to chat with you and celebrate that we've got all of ours covered. If you took one and you decided not to, then just bring it back to Julie. And I'm fully believing we're going to cover all 150 students that want to be sponsored. I'm telling you, this is powerful for $1.33 a day. So, end of commercial. This morning, we're going to examine an issue that I think has real importance to us. It's critical because what we're going to talk about today is actually dangerous and harmful and can mess us up. Teaching that messes with your mind has the potential to disturb your soul needs to be talked about. It's a little bit if the National Weather Service issues a tornado warning. They're telling you that because they care. They don't want you to get caught unaware, okay? Or a hurricane warning or a flash flood warning. And I can remember Denise and I were at Cornerstone University, and I was grateful. My phone went off, and you could hear an alarm sounding, and sure enough, there was a tornado that touched down like a half a mile away from where we were staying. And we were hiding there in the bathroom with mattresses, guard. Anyway, I just want you to know I was grateful for the warning. And that's how I'd like you to receive this warning today. As your lead pastor who loves and cares for you, I just want you to know I'm issuing a false teaching alert, a wolf in sheep's clothing alarm. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. Why? Why? Because, listen, millions of sheep, like you and me, and it is that high, millions, have been deceived by dangerous deception that sounds pretty good. We'll get into this in a little bit. It sounds kind of biblical. And you go, that could be. So today's sermon is more than just a hot topic. It's a serious warning about a critical situation to give you, my church family, that I love dearly and care a lot about. I want to give you that warning. I really do. Okay? So, this morning, we're going to look today at the prosperity gospel. And I just want you to know, if you're hoping I'll name a bunch of names, you're going to be disappointed. Okay? I'm not going to name names today. And Brant and I and Jason and I and John, we all talked about this. Here's why I'm not going to name names. Number one, to be accurate for each person who's in this category, it would need 15 to 20 minutes per person to get the details down. And last I checked, I think I only have 40 minutes. So I don't have 20 minutes to talk about a bunch of folks. Second reason I'm not naming names, I'd prefer that you concentrate on the subject, prosperity's teaching, and not an individual, okay? Not a specific teacher or a pastor. Third reason I'm not going to name names is this list is constantly changing, okay? With the internet and podcast and YouTube videos and Prosperity TV, I'm telling you, the list is changing and it changes quick. And finally, if I name someone that you listen to and enjoy, then instantly this becomes a debate. And that's not the purpose. I'm not here to create controversy. I'm not here to cause you strife. I'm here to warn and to teach from God's Word, and hopefully we'll leave here how to discern God's Word from false teaching, okay? So I'm going to present a lot of information, and hopefully you have one of these handouts when you came in. But if you didn't get one, our ministry team's ready to get you one. So hold your hand up, and we'll get you one if you didn't get one of these as you came in. Anybody not get one? There's one. There's two. There's a couple up in the balcony. Nice job. Hey, you guys did well. You only missed like three. Well done. Okay, you can follow along with me here. You can refer back to this later. You can take notes. You're here. You're awake. You're alert. You're looking good. And oh, by the way, if you actually look and read and write, statistically, you'll remember what you're hearing here today way better. Okay? So there we go. Let's start with this. The prosperity gospel claims that God will give you your heart's desires. Money in the bank, healthy body, thriving family, boundless happiness. Exercise true faith in Jesus Christ, and surely you'll attain physical, material, and financial prosperity in this life right today. Prosperity gospel is really an explanation for the problem of evil and suffering in this world. The truth is, the answer to those questions oftentimes tear our lives apart. Why do some people get healed miraculously and other people don't? Why do some people leap and land on their feet and other people leap and they fall to the ground, breaking their ankle? Okay? Why there are different results. Why do some babies die in their cribs and some bitter souls live to see great-grandchildren? Why is that? Okay? The prosperity gospel looks at the world as it is and promises a solution. Okay? It guarantees that faith will make a way. If you believe, if you give, if you leap, you're always going to land on your feet and everything's going to be just great. That's the teaching. You're going to be healed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have a lot of extra money in the bank. Here are the main beliefs. And we'll put this up on the slide. Dan's going to do that for us. You have it there in your hands as well, so you can follow along. Here are the main teachings, the main beliefs of the prosperity gospel. Number one, Jesus has purchased all the benefits of salvation for this life. Okay? He's purchased complete healing for his people in this life through what he did for us on the cross. Okay? Prosperity gospel teaches Jesus died to take away every sickness in this life. Okay? So he died to take away your sicknesses and pay for the sin of financial poverty. To be financially poor is a sin, and Jesus died to take care of that. Second tenet of prosperity teaching, it's a present day inheritance. In other words, you're receiving what the Old Testament promised to Moses and Abraham. It's an inheritance for believers today. It teaches that if you believe in Jesus, you're going to inherit great possessions, and all you have to do is ask and believe, and all of the riches that have been promised back in the Old Testament will come your way. Third tenet or teaching of prosperity teaching, you need to give to get. You need to give to get. Sow a seed. That's a big saying there in prosperity. Sow a seed, and they'll say things like, and this is good ground. Our ministry here is good soil, so write a big check, and then the Lord will, in response, bless you and give you lots and lots of results. You're going to receive back lots more than you write the check for. Number four, name it and claim it. Faith and prayer empower people to lay hold of physical and material blessings. Okay? If you have enough faith, you no longer will have to suffer the crippling effects of disease and all that go with living with sickness and the trouble of this world. Prosperity teachers claim that when we pray in faith, listen, we compel God to make us rich and wealthy. We compel Him. You have to, because I'm believing it and I'm saying it out loud. 50 of the largest 260 churches in the U.S. teach prosperity teaching, okay? Many of them, if you want to, here's as close as I'm going to get to naming a name, many of them are featured on the Trinity Broadcast Network, okay? And we're just going to leave it right there, okay? If you would like to chat with me about some specific teacher or preacher, or if you'd like to run it by Pastor Brandt or Pastor Bob, we'd be happy to chat with you individually, okay? Please know this. My purpose this morning is not to offend. My purpose is to inform and to warn and to teach discernment, okay? So, why is the prosperity gospel so popular? Think about it with me. Why are millions of people in the United States and around the world attracted to the prosperity gospel? Okay, here we go. Seven reasons. And there's a little booklet by David Jones, Russell Woodbridge, I would recommend. Good book if you want it. I really would recommend Health, Wealth, and Happiness. If you want more information, this is a great little resource. Okay? 7 quick reasons why prosperity teaching is so popular and it's spreading all over the world. Number one, the prosperity gospel contains some nuggets of biblical truth. It does. It sounds true because there are some quotes of God's word. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. Number two, prosperity gospel appeals to the nature, the natural human nature. How many of you want to be successful, healthy, happy, and financially secure? Can I see your hands? I got my hand up. Put them both up. That sounds real good. Yeah. Okay. Number three, the prosperity gospel promises much and requires little. In other words, Jesus is the solution to all of your material needs, all of your physical needs, and all of your happiness needs. So it promises much and requires little. Number four, the truth is many of the teachers, preachers, evangelists have very winsome personalities. As you listen to them, they come across smooth and they're happy. And you go, you know what? This is polished and this sounds really good and they're nice people. Number five, many followers of the prosperity gospel have little knowledge of biblical doctrine. Therefore, if you have little knowledge of God's word, that makes us ripe for deception. Number six, many people have experienced success and some have gotten healed. And they attribute that healing, that success, to the prosperity gospel. And number seven, many in the church lack a sense of discernment. We are more influenced, sadly, by the secular culture than by Scripture. So, what I'd like to do is spend the rest of our time here this morning comparing God's Word with the prosperity teaching. Okay? That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to give you 6 contrasts. We'll go through those. You have the handout. It's right there. First contrast, Romans chapter 5. And if you're able, would you stand with me? Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. This is God's word. Let's declare it out loud together. For everyone, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. Let's pray. Lord, we need You. I need You here this morning. We need Your presence. We need Your Spirit, the same Spirit that inspired the Apostle Paul to write those words down. We invite Your Spirit to come today. Come take charge in Your church. We're talking about a tough, controversial topic. Would You open our eyes and soften our hearts? We're asking for discernment and the ability to concentrate right now. Help us to hear from You, Lord. Speak, because we're listening. And all the church family gathered at Walloon Lake Community Church said with one united voice, amen. You may be seated. First contrast between prosperity teaching and God's word is the gospel of Jesus is very clear. Our number one problem in life as humans is we're sinners and we fall short of God's glory. Romans 3:23. We just read it. For all of us are sinners and we all fall short of God's glory. Only Jesus, only his work on the cross and the empty tomb. That's the only solution to our problem that's massive. We must repent. We're living this way, and I'm doing things for sin and Satan and self, and now I need to do the U-turn and go the other way and run towards Jesus and the cross and his shed blood and the empty tomb. That's the only answer to our sin problem. The prosperity gospel, listen, distorts the true gospel. Instead of pointing people towards Jesus Christ, it points people towards healing and money and happiness. See the difference? Instead of pointing people toward the cross, it points people towards getting well physically and more money in my pocket, and I always want to be happy. The gospel of Jesus saves and redeems us from our sin, not based on our works, not based on giving money, not based on sowing a big seed, write a big check. The gospel is not about monetary gain. It's about the glory of God. The gospel is not about being happy all the time, and it's not about always feeling physically 100%. The prosperity gospel distorts the biblical gospel by making it all about getting more stuff. I need more stuff. It doesn't point people towards Jesus. Instead, it points people toward the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. 1 John 2:15-17. The focus of the biblical gospel, catch this, is never on physical, financial, or material blessings in this life. Never. Never. And that's huge difference between what God's word talks about and prosperity teaching. Second contrast, biblical teaching, prosperity teaching. The God of the Bible is infinite and holy and sovereign. Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens and he does what he wishes. Listen close. We don't name and claim and demand and manipulate our God. That's not our job. Jesus is our King and we are his servants, his ambassadors. Servants and ambassadors don't get to change the message of the King. Okay? Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We carry his message. We don't alter his message. Our duty is to honor the King and live how he commanded us. The prosperity gospel teaches if you go to God and you really believe, then he has to grant all the things you're asking for because you're believing it. But anyone who has children, how many of you have children or grandchildren? I see your hands. Most of you, okay? You know, giving a child everything he wants and asks for is often not good, okay? Think about it with me. If your child demands, Brant, I want cookies and I want ice cream and I want candy, and I want cotton candy every day, every meal, and I'm demanding that. Can I just say, to give in to that is not actually being a good parent. It's actually being a poor parent, and you're likely going to make the child sick and weak and spoiled. Can I say the same thing is true with our awesome God? He is our perfect heavenly Father, and for him to give in to all of our demands would not be being a good and awesome Father. Third contrast between the biblical gospel, prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel confuses the work of Jesus on the cross. Here's what I mean. Jesus bore our sins. He conquered death. He arose from the dead. He paid the price for lost sinners. And the benefits are eternal. Put that verse up here, Dan. 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." That is the number one verse that prosperity teachers love to quote. Say, see, Jesus became poor so that we could be made rich. Just one problem. Paul's talking about being made rich spiritually. And our riches, as followers of Jesus, our riches are out of this world. They really are. And they're going to be amazing. But he's talking about who we are, our new identity in Jesus. And if you keep reading down in 2 Corinthians 8, they forget that Paul is not teaching that Christ died to increase material net worth. He's actually saying he gives us worth so that we can help others. If you slide down 2 Corinthians 8:14, right now you have plenty and can help those in need. In other words, if he does give us wealth, he gives it to us so that we can help the poor students in Haiti who need an education. Do you understand? He gives us wealth so that we can help brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. That's the context for that verse that they always quote. Jesus became poor so that we can generously give to those around us. Fourth contrast. I'm going to keep going. Between the biblical teaching and the prosperity teaching is how you view prayer in God's Word. How you view prayer in God's Word. And again, I have a wonderful research assistant. Did you know that? Did you know the church has allowed me to have a research assistant? And I pay her in kisses and hugs. And she handed me 100-plus page transcripts. And I went through in the number one verse, prosperity teaching, James 4:2, on prayer. And they say, the reason you don't have wealth, the reason you don't have health, the reason you don't have happiness is because you don't ask. Okay? You don't have because you're not asking properly in prayer. Okay? So what they're saying is the reason we're not healthy and massively wealthy is because we're not asking God regularly for the good stuff. Now, here's what's interesting. They don't tell you the whole verse. James 4:2, we'll put it up here. They just take that one little section of the verse. Here's what James says, the whole verse. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Talking about selfish prayers, greedy prayers, material-focused prayers. And now comes that part of the verse. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You see how the whole verse changes everything? It really does. One well-known prosperity preacher writes, when we pray, by the way, you'd know who this person is, I'm not going to tell you. When we pray, believing that we've already received what we're praying, God has no choice but to make our prayers come to pass. He has no choice because you're praying and he has to answer. teaching the claims that we can demand things of God is spiritual justification for self-indulgence. That's what it is, okay? It actually perverts prayer, and we're taking the name of the Lord in vain, okay? Prayer is asking that God's will be done. You understand? The Lord's Prayer, remember, that's our model to follow. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're praying about God's character, his name, his honor, the kingdom and his will and purposes be done. Okay? You see no requests for cars or boats or houses or big bank accounts. None. Instead, followers of Jesus, yeah, if you left your windows open in your car, you better run now. Here's what Jesus instructs, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. God will take care of your needs. Live strong daily for Jesus. Fifth contrast between the biblical gospel and the prosperity teaching is how the prosperity teachers teach about money. Money, okay? All you need to do is sow a seed of faith, give money to this ministry, God will bless your marriage, God will bless your finances, God will bless your health. Here's what God's word has to say about money. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the truth, from the true faith, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Luke 6:20, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. The more we assume that riches equals blessing, the more we're going to approach God as though he's a means to an end. Here's what I mean by that, okay? If you're not thriving materially, it's because there's something wrong with you spiritually. And they'll actually say that. Well, if you're not wealthy and if you're not healthy, then there's something wrong in your spiritual life. And I say to that, open up God's word and look at all the people who lived pretty close to poverty and suffered. People like Job and Joseph and David and the apostles. And the most obvious example is who? Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? He turned to his disciples. He said, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And Jesus lived perfectly before his Father. Here's the truth. We can expect to be treated how they treated Jesus. Prosperity gospel throws out, and it grows out of idolatry. God is a means to an end. It whispers, if you serve God, you can have what you really want. And what you really want is bigger and better stuff. Pastor J.D. Greer, I like this quote. Here's what he said on the subject. When we serve God to get material blessings, we've essentially turned God into a divine pimp. And if that sounds offensive, it's because it is offensive. The prosperity gospel makes you an adulterer who seeks God to use him, not to worship him. Sixth and final contrast. What does God's word say versus prosperity teaching? Prosperity teaching downplays, ignores suffering. The subject of suffering. 1 Peter 4:19, put it up here, Dan, if you would. So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what's right. Trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Suffering for the cause of Christ is a big part of God's plan for us, whether we like it or not. It is. Some of us are going to get thrown in jail, lose your job, endure beatings, get laughed at for following Jesus. Here's a stat we don't like to acknowledge. There's more persecution and suffering for Jesus followers today, 2025, than at any time in all of church history. More people today are being hurt and punished and suffering for the cause of Christ than in any time in all of church history. Okay? That's huge. It really is. Jesus said this, John 15:18-20. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Verse 20, do you remember what I told you? A slave's not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally, they're going to persecute you. If they hated Jesus, and if the world hated Jesus so much, what did they do to him? They beat him, they scourged him, they nailed him to a cross. If the world persecuted Jesus, listen, expect they're going to treat us the same way. And I'm telling you, prosperity teaching has little or no theology for suffering. They go quiet on the subject. They have very little help for people in wheelchairs, for the blind, for the deaf, for those who are suffering in so many ways. So, Christians who've bought into prosperity teaching, they're in trouble when the diagnosis is cancer. When there's a bad car accident, when there's birth defects, when there's tornadoes and floods, they've got no answers. Their central pillar of belief, Jesus wants you to be healthy and wealthy and happy, it just collapses when the storms of life smash into their lives. I want to put up a quote. We're just about done. Quote from one of my favorites, Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher. Here's what he said. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. Discernment is knowing the difference between right and almost right. That's my prayer for us here this morning. The question is, does the prosperity gospel, did Jesus really teach the result of his death, burial, and resurrection was going to be immense wealth and perfect health, and you're always going to be happy? Is that really, that's the result? Here's what John 16:33 says. I have told you all this so that you might have peace in me. Here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. Here's the best news. Ready? Best news to share in a broken world where wealth is fleeting. Wealth is unreliable. People are sick and dying, and every person since Jesus was ascended to the right hand of every person on earth eventually dies. Folks are sad and unhappy. Here's what we have. Are you ready? We've got the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus died. Jesus was buried and rose again on the third day, and he promises the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, and he'll be your good shepherd at your side every single day, no matter what we face. That's the good news that Jesus offers. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the good news, the gospel. Thank you for the truth and reliability of your inspired word. Thank you for all that your son Jesus has done and is doing in our lives today. We need you because we live in a world where there's a lot of half-truths and There's a lot of distorted thinking and teaching going on. Lord, would you help us to worship you, Jesus, and seek after you? Forgive us of those times where we've chased after money and wealth and happiness and health instead of chasing after you. Help us, Lord, to be a source of your light. We live in a dark and a sad world, Lord. Help us to shine bright for your Son, Jesus. And I just want to close. I don't want to ever not give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Because you might be here in person today, or you might be watching online, and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never believed the gospel facts for you. You have to make that choice for yourself. Here are the facts. Jesus died on the cross for you, for me. Jesus shed his blood on that cross for my greatest problem, which is yours too. We're sinners. Jesus took our place, buried in a borrowed tomb, but he didn't stay dead. He arose victoriously on the third day for you and for me. He defeated sin and Satan and death, and he did that for us. Will you believe those facts, Jesus? I believe those facts for me. And will you now say, Jesus, and I receive. I welcome you into my life. I choose to follow you, Jesus, as my Savior, my King, my forever friend. If you make that choice here today, we'd love to celebrate with you. If you're here in person, the prayer corner, they'll celebrate. Pastor Brandt will celebrate. We'll get you a Bible. We'll get you going in your new journey with Jesus. If you're watching online, hit that prayer button and we'll send you a Bible. We'll get you going in your journey with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you for the real gospel, your truth. Would you give us discernment? Would you help us, Lord, to be able to discern your truth from all of the information out there in this very busy, loud world? We need it, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things.